And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he on this great Friday. You know, a lot of people say, thank God it's Friday. Thank God it's another day, right? Amen. Thank God it's another day. And I hope all of you are enjoying it. And I hope you are encouraged and hopeful and have great expectations for this day, because this really is the day the Lord has made. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 139, all our days were fashioned when as yet there were none of them. And you know what? God didn't fashion a single bad day for us. Sin came in and, of course, made a lot of days bad days, so to speak. But God didn't fashion a single bad day for us. And I think he wants all of us to enjoy days of heaven on the earth. And what we've got to do is just in the face of whatever problem, issue, trial, tribulation comes our way, just believe God right through it. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. And we can still, you know, it's easy to have joy when there's stuff to be joyful about. But having the joy of the Lord when it's not really looking very good, and just praising God anyhow. You know, I've often said to my church, I've said, you know, if you have to put your fingers at the ends of your lips and pull them into a smile, you know, just smile anyway. You don't smile because something bad is happening. You smile in spite of it. And the smile is not some goofy smile just to be smiling. The smile is about faith in God. It's about God's got me. He's got this. I know it looks bad right now, but God's got it, and I believe it. And just absolutely faith powering your way through every situation. So praise God for another day. And we are facing challenges, obviously, in our country. And I'm smiling still. Don't smile at every single moment, you know, but because sometimes the left does and says things that, you know, you kind of got to go, well, Lord, help me to have grace and give me the fruit of the Spirit in the midst of this: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Thank you, Lord. Don't we need that sometimes in the face of some truly idiotic stuff that the left can say and do. You know, they really do need deliverance. You know, I said to some folks who were making comments about my comments about Jerry Nadler calling President Trump a dictator, they said some very ugly things about me for saying that, and pointed out that I'd called Barack Obama a dictator. Well, I hadn't called him a dictator. I said he's trying to set himself up as one, and I had certain evidentiary bases for making that statement. But I'm not the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, and I'm not impeaching a president, and I'm not standing on a platform in the United States Senate making declarations, and Jerry Nadler was. And that puts it in a whole different context and light. And I said, here's what Obama's trying to do. Jerry Nadler said he is a dictator, and he's got to go, and he's got to go now, and we can't wait for an election. Folks, that takes it to a whole different level of danger and demagoguery. And so I said to folks, if you don't understand the difference, you don't need an explanation. You need an exorcism. And because, I mean, the difference is obvious, right? I mean, it's just obvious. But, of course, the left, they also got upset because I said, when you reject God, there is an intellectual deficiency and blindness that is there that you simply cannot penetrate, because it's not really a head problem, it's a heart problem. And when the heart is blind, the intellectual eyes can't see. And so, you know, that's just where we are. But, you know, okay, you know what? I'm still filled with the joy of the Lord. I still love them. I still love I obviously love God, still love them, still love my country, and I'm still confident that we're going to win in this great debate over the future of the United States of America. I believe it with every fiber of my being. Down to my tippy toes, I believe it. Well, I'm glad to have you all on with us. Thanks for your support. Thanks for your prayers. I wanted to share with you, let me see if I can pull this up real quick. I wanted to share with you the dumb commentary that you get. And when I don't mean to be gratuitous when I say there's an intellectual deficiency in liberals and leftists. I don't mean to be gratuitous and just insulting people. I'm really pointing out what I consider to be a very, very serious problem. And it's the problem is rooted and grounded in their spiritual blindness. As a result of their spiritual blindness, they simply can't see straight intellectually. It makes them blind in so many other ways. Well, here's a perfect example of it. Some guy responded to that particular comment I just made and said this. This is in Reddit. He says, "What's really confounding for me," this guy's name is Banjo Smamjo, that's his internet ID, I guess. He says, "What's really confounding for me is how they actually believe this stuff." He says, "There's religious weirdos, though, no way you can argue with them. They believe an all-powerful imaginary friend is responsible for picking winners and losers. It's truly bizarre." This was my response to him. "If you believe that the whole universe is one cosmic accident, that is bizarre. If you believe there's no eternal reckoning after this life, that is weird. I will be praying that you awaken to the truth. And by the way, there's a difference between my proclamations, whether as activist or candidate, about what Obama was trying to do, and Nadler's claims on the floor of the Senate during impeachment hearings that President Trump is a dictator. Sorry if that's too subtle for you, but it's the truth." So, folks, that's the kind of commentary you get, that those of us who believe in God, those of us who understand that the universe is not some kind of cosmic accident, just kind of came out of nowhere and just happened, which is the dumbest thing anybody can. I don't know how anybody can believe. That's like seeing a Cadillac go down the street and saying, "You know what? What? Some kind of explosion happened a few blocks away. We don't know what caused it. We don't know where it came from. But boom, and suddenly there was a Cadillac driving down the street." And of course, you say that to anybody, look at you and say, "What are you, nuts?" You know, somebody obviously designed and built that, right? It runs too efficiently, too smoothly. It does a particular job with particular efficiency. And no, that didn't just happen because some kind of explosion that came out of nowhere happened a few blocks away, and now suddenly here's a Cadillac coming down the street. No, somebody designed it, organized it, put it together, and made it what it is. Well, the one who put the universe together, the one who created us, is Almighty God. The one who made this creation what it is Almighty God. And for people to believe that we're bizarre for believing that, when the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows forth his handiwork, as opposed to believing that somehow, some way, out of nothing, out of nowhere, from no one, from nothing, stuff just happened. You got to have BBs for brains to believe that. And this is what I mean. Intellectually, that makes absolutely no sense. You wouldn't apply that analysis to anything else in life. But when you're blind to God, guess what? Suddenly that analysis makes perfect sense, and anybody who believes in the God who created all things is some kind of crazy person. That's putting evil for good and good for evil, light for darkness and darkness for light, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
If you do an online search of the term cultural Marxism, you will see a Wikipedia entry that dismisses it as a conspiracy theory that is supposedly trying to take over Western culture. Actually, it is the dominant form of Marxism in America and in much of the West today. Dr. Paul Kenger was on Point of View Radio talk show with me to talk about his recent article about cultural Marxism. He explained that cultural Marxism began about a century ago in Germany because the proponents felt that Orthodox Marxism was too limiting and too narrow. They wanted revolutionary changes in marriage, sexuality, and family. They looked to the universities as a place where their ideas could be launched. They could organize the students, the artists, and the media to transform Western society. Instead of focusing on an economic war, they wanted to bring a cultural war. One of the key figures in cultural Marxism was Antonio Gramsci, who taught that we should seize the cultural means of production. That would be the media and the universities. He believed that the social transformation would be able to march through the institutions. One place where cultural Marxism is evident today is in what is called cultural theory. Paul Kenger reminded us that Barack Obama's alma mater, Occidental College, has a department of critical theory and social justice. It promises to instruct students in the principles of Marxism, psychoanalysis, the Frankfurt School, deconstructionism, critical race studies, queer theory, feminist theory, and post-colonial theory. If you've been near a college campus lately, this should all sound very familiar. This is not a conspiracy theory, but an accurate picture of the march of cultural Marxism through the institutions. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
Do you pray for the Great Commission? Hi, it's Bible League International, engaging the world with God's Word since 1938 for only $5 a Bible. At Bible League, we pray that His kingdom will come, and we see it coming in the lives of new Christians eager to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus by having their own Bible.
The need for a change is through the Word of God.
It is so important for the Bible, the Word of God, to be made available in whatever languages that are needed by people.
People now are very open to hear the gospel.
Whoever comes and is able to give us a Bible, it will be better than giving us food to eat.
You know, this pastor in Africa is not denying the need for physical nourishment, but he's stressing the need for spiritual nourishment for new believers who cannot access a Bible because they live under corrupt governments or among majority religions that persecute. Will you learn more about becoming a blessing in this kingdom work by visiting sendbiblesnow.org, sendbiblesnow.org, or call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD.
Brian Fisher here. How did the shampeachment affect Donald Trump, and how did it affect Democrats? Hakeem Jeffries says a foreign government meddling in an American election is okay as long as the candidate pays for it. Nancy Pelosi doesn't know what the word acquitted means, and wait till you hear who's going to pick Liz Warren, Secretary of Education, next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. And speaking of Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff and the escapees from the impeachment asylum, somehow found their way onto the floor of the United States Senate. I thought that they were properly put away somewhere where they wouldn't do any harm to themselves or others, but apparently they've escaped. And they're in the chamber of the United States Senate, and they're about to have a vote. We don't know how long that's going to take to happen, but they're about to start the procedure, I think, for a vote on where they go from here, whether to take witnesses. Well, we've got the head of American Family Association Action, our political action arm of American Family Association, Rob Chambers. And Rob's going to give us an update on exactly what's going on here on the floor of the Senate and with this whole impeachment debacle. Hey, Rob, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Bishop.
I could barely hear you, Rob.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
There you go. That's a little bit better. Sure. Listen, so, you know, nobody has a chance to, and they say a lot of people are tuning out to the thing anyway, but for those of us who are watching it and trying to follow it, what's about to happen? What do you think is going to happen today? I've heard reports that today could end it completely.
Yes, basically what's happening now is we're having later today, we'll have a vote on witnesses. Basically, it will be a vote on determining whether or not. Test. Yeah, what we're going to have today, later today, is going to be a test on whether or not they will be calling witnesses.
Yeah, Rob, you are fading on me fast. I don't know whether our audience can hear you better than I can.
What about
But let's keep going. I can hear you. It's just that you're a little low.
Yeah, well, we're trying to work on it on this
okay.
end.
All right.
So, testing, 1, 2. Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Well, I think everybody can hear you, Rob. It might be a little bit difficult to have to get a little closer to the radio, turn the volume up. But
how about this?
That's better. That's much better. There you go.
Okay. So, yeah, basically what we're going to be looking at later today is a vote on witnesses. Basically, is there's going to be a decision made later today on whether or not the Senate will be at this Senate trial, if they're going to be including witnesses to drag this thing out even longer. And so the sense is that this is not going to happen. They don't have the votes to 51 votes to call for witnesses in this Senate trial. So that will be done with, I predict. And then we'll have a vote on the acquittal. And so I predict that will happen as well. So I think probably even by late tonight that this acquittal will basically be done with.
Well, that, you know what? That's really good news because it needs to be done with, because this whole thing is a farce. Now, look, I was particularly incensed by Justice Roberts, who, by the way, was a classmate of mine at Harvard Law School. His censuring Senator Rand Paul, who asked a question that Justice Roberts censured because he thought it would lead to revealing or mentioning who the so-called whistleblower is.
Yes. What
is that all about? Because I understand there's no statutory proscription against revealing who this man is, that he's getting a kind of protection that's not enshrined in law.
Well, I think we have the sound fixed up here. Is that better?
That's much better.
Okay,
yes.
Super. Yeah. So, yeah, I was watching that, and so yes, Senator Rand Paul put a question up about this potential or alleged whistleblower. And so why in the world that Chief Justice Roberts did not allow that is that showing potential bias, it looks like, from the Chief Justice. And so, but I did continue to watch the trial, and it was interesting that a little bit later on, another question was put forth, and Chief Justice Roberts did ask a question, but it did not include the verbiage of whistleblower in that question. So you could either ask the question about who the alleged whistleblower's name is, or you could mention in another question say the word whistleblower without the name being in the question. So why can you not have a question with the alleged whistleblower plus the word whistleblower in the same question? And so to me it looks like it's very clear that the Chief Justice is showing bias.
Well, and frankly, I don't trust him. Here's the question that Senator Rand Paul asked, and to me, this is a perfectly appropriate question that doesn't get into revealing who the whistleblower is. Not that there should be anything wrong with that, but he says, my question today is about whether or not individuals who were holdovers from the Obama National Security Council and Democrat partisans conspired with Schiff staffers to plot impeaching the president before there were formal House impeachment proceedings. That's a question that goes to, do these people have a motive that they concocted even before the president took office to try to get rid of him and to find some means or some basis for doing that? Because to me, that's an important question that has nothing to do necessarily with revealing who the whistleblower is, right?
Well, absolutely. But even if I thought a lot of this was based on the whistleblower. So if the managers don't know who the whistleblower is and they haven't even talked to this person, then what are we talking about? Why are we here talking about this if we can't even put forth a supposed witness on the witness stand and basically ask them about it?
Look, as somebody who is very involved in the political world in behalf of American Family Association and Christians and conservatives around the country, one of the fears that people are expressing is, have we opened Pandora's box and turned impeachment into a political weapon that is now going to be used every time a party simply doesn't like the policies or the personality of a president?
That's what it's certainly looking like, Bishop Jackson, is that it's looking like if a particular party
or a group of a faction within a party, they don't like the colored socks that the president wears, or even a judge. You know, we are really looking at, I think Pandora's box has been opened, and I really wish that once these articles of impeachment came from the House over to the Senate, I wish the Senate Majority Leader would have just basically called for this to be dismissed, you know, at day one and be done with that. But that did not happen, and so now we are where we are. But I do believe with you that Pandora's box has been opened. I want to kind of go back a little bit to Chief Justice Roberts' comments, if that's okay. I did put a post up on AFA Action's Facebook page, basically calling out what had happened, what Chief Justice Roberts did not allow Senator Rand Paul to ask. And then, I found it interesting that Facebook apparently has basically gone in there and deleted that Facebook page off AFA Action's Facebook page. So wow. why is social media screening things like this?
You know, Rob, this stuff, something's going to have to be done about this. I'm always reluctant to let government get involved in trying to, in any way, regulate speech. But these organizations are so large and so influential that if they're going to not create a level playing field, and in effect, only liberal speech is going to be allowed, and mm-hmm. no conservative speech they don't like is going to be allowed, something's got to happen. I mean, because that doesn't make any sense. And it's really damaging to the First Amendment for all of us.
Yeah. First Amendment, Constitution, and going back again to Chief Justice Roberts, there is no law that precludes, as I understand, a whistleblower, as you mentioned a while ago, from testifying. So what in the oversight of Chief Justice Roberts, what caused him to deny that?
One more question before you go, and I've been disturbed by this. I've made some references to Barack Obama that people have called attention to. But when Jerry Nadler stood on the floor and Adam Schiff stood on the floor of the United States Senate and said, you can't trust this president with an election, he is a dictator, he must be removed now, I said that is not some activist opining about the nature of an administration or president. I said these are people who are actually calling for the overthrow of a president and saying that an election is not enough. That can't be trusted. I mean, to me, that's a very, very dangerous road to be going down.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely is. And look, they're trying to do is trying to recover from election that they lost nearly 4 years ago. And they're just still trying to win that election. And they know they've lost. And so they're looking at an election in 2020. And so they're trying to figure out what they can do to show up, people, get more people to vote for their particular candidate. And it's just not going to happen because I think what's interesting is that I've noticed some video post that our supporters have sent to their senator, and some of these are registered Democrats that have sent video messages to their senators and saying, hey, look, I'm a registered Democrat. I've voted in the past two Democratic elections, but this is enough. So even you have people within the Democratic Party, and at least that are going in and taking action, which you can go to afaaction.net and send your a message to your senators urging them to vote against the witnesses, any more witnesses or any witnesses at the Senate trial, and also urge your senator to acquit President Trump. But we're seeing even Democrats coming out, at least Democrats that would be supporters of even AFA for various reasons. And so they send a message and they say, we're opposed to this sham show. And it's several of them.
I would encourage our listeners to go to the Facebook page, American Family Association, American Family Association Action. Check it out. Like the things that you say there. Because you're posting some good stuff that will help keep people informed, because sadly, American Family Association, American Family Association Action, American Family Radio, I think, is one of the few remaining reliable sources of objective, factual information. So thanks for what you're doing, Rob. We appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
God bless you. We'll be back in a moment, folks.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
For life is more than food and the body more than clothing. The words of Jesus. Somewhere I ran across the story of a man who visited a certain home. The home wasn't much to look at, kind of run down, lacking even a good coat of paint. Outside the home in the yard, a little boy and his sister were playing. They were laughing, running, having a good time. The man surveyed the situation, summed up that the family wasn't very well off. He asked the small boy some questions about the home and family. The little boy told him that his father had not been able to work lately because of illness and that his mother had to care for the father. When asked about his patched clothes and his bare feet, the youngster explained that he had not had any new clothes since his daddy got sick. After a long period of conversation, the visiting gentleman found out that the little boy and his sister had not been to a movie or to get a cone of ice cream or any of the normal accepted childhood pleasures for several months. Wanting to say something to help the boy and his little sister face the difficult situation, the man spoke, and this is what he said. It must be awful to be poor. Well, quick as a flash, the youngster answered back, Mister, we ain't poor. We just ain't got no money. Now, how true, how eternally true. He was happy. He loved his sister. His parents loved him. He knew why his family was in the shape it was in financially, and he didn't complain. Money could not have bought what he had. How very shallow our judgments go sometimes. How very misplaced our values of riches. We think the only rich people are the people who have money. How miserable life would be if we had to face it on that basis, being poor if we had no money. We've made a terrible mistake here, and we have passed it on to our children. That mistake is thinking that a person has to have a bankroll in order to be rich. What a poor, pitiful basis from which to judge richness. No man is poor who has character and purpose, whose life has been touched by the Galilean carpenter, who has love of God and love of fellow man. Every man is poor who lacks those things, regardless of his bank account. Whoever uplifts civilization, though he die penniless, is rich, and future generations will erect a living monument to him in deeds. A great bank account can never make a man rich, and often hides real richness from him. A man is rich or poor according to what he is, not according to what he has. We are important because we are God's children, not because of position or power or money. No man is rich who has a poor heart. One of the first great lessons of life is to learn the true estimate of values. How poor are those whose major goal is a growing bank account? A rich mind and a noble spirit will cast over the humblest person a radiance of beauty which most millionaires will never know. So don't pity the person who's lacking money. Pity only the person who's lacking in character and purpose, who rejects the Galilean and has no love for his fellow man. For they are the poor ones, but those who are the opposite are rich far beyond the expression and means of mortal money.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Well, it is Friday, folks, and I want to try to get your calls in here as quickly as I can. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'm going to try to come to some calls during this segment. Let me just say that Big League Politics is reporting, and of course, it's been reported by various agencies, so I'm not letting the cat out of the bag, that the guy who is the alleged whistleblower, and just call him a leaker because that's really all he is a former CIA agent by the name of, I guess he's still in the CIA, staffer or something. I'm not sure he's an agent, but he's a whistleblower according to some sources. His name is Eric Ciaramella. Eric Ciaramella. And here's the thing that bothers me. You know, folks, I say this is one of the best sources in the world for getting accurate information about what is actually going on. Now, look, I have a point of view. And our network has a point of view. We are distinctly Christian. We have a biblical worldview. We don't hide that. We don't pretend otherwise. We don't come on to say, you know, folks, we don't have any particular point of view. We're completely objective and neutral. And all we're going to do is report the facts like the Communist News Network does, like the Marxist Socialist No Brains Channel does. That's CNN and MSNBC. In case you didn't catch the alphabet soup there. Pretending we're objective and we're no, they're not. They're propaganda institutions. And here's the difference. So you say, well, then what's the difference between, you know, them and you? We will never lie to you. We will never lie to you. We will never come to you and tell you something that we believe to be untrue. Whether it helps us or hurts us, we're going to come to you with the truth. Whether we think you'll like it or you won't like it, we're going to come to you with the truth. Okay? I mean, it's just that plain and simple. Because we have a duty to God, first and foremost, to tell the truth. So yes, we have a particular point of view, and we have a particular approach to what we think the facts of the truth mean. And by the way, we're right. We're right. You know. We're right. And we know that others out there may not agree with us, but they should. So this guy, Sierra Mella, and this is the thing Adam Schiff, folks, and I've said this before, and here again, I'm not trying to be gratuitous or just call names or slander. I really believe this is an accurate statement of the facts. This is true. Adam Schiff is a consummate, inveterate liar. That he lies. He just lies. It's what he does. And that, as far as I'm concerned, that whole cabal suffers from the same malady. But Sierra Mella is apparently best friends with Sean Misko, who is an Adam Schiff staffer. Now, folks, does any of us really believe that Adam Schiff doesn't know who Sierra Mello is and that he's, quote unquote, has had no contact when his staffer is one of his best friends? In fact, apparently the staffer is Sierra Mello's best friend. I'm not sure what that means in these days and times among the left. I mean, when you say that, you got to, you know, that could be loaded. I don't know. But at any rate, they're apparently very close. But Adam Schiff has no idea. Folks, that's a bold-faced lie. And we all know it's a lie. Come on. But like I said before, pressed, he'd have some kind of cute explanation. Well, you know, there's knowing and there's knowing. And I'm not sure that I know in the way you think you know, the way you may mean knowing. And I mean, I'm sure it would be Clinton-esque. In the nth degree, you know, just the explanation. But he knows who this guy is, and this whole thing of Chief Justice Roberts. By the way, I think I told you all, Chief Justice Roberts was a classmate of mine. Now I did not know him, but I mean I saw him around campus, and when he got appointed, I recognized him because you know the campus, law school campus at Harvard is not that big, so you get to see a lot of faces and so forth. And I'd seen him around campus. But folks, that's the danger of any president choosing to appoint somebody who comes out of Harvard Law School or Yale Law School. I'm not saying it's fatal, but there's so much Kool-Aid to drink. And I think Chief Justice Roberts has drank a lot of Kool-Aid and digested it and has absorbed it. And so I think he's untrustworthy as a constitutional conservative. I just think he's not as a textualist. I can't trust him, you know, and so treating this guy like he is entitled to some sort of statutory protection when he's not, and censoring a United States senator to me is completely out of order. And that means to me, he's working for the other team. He's working for the impeachers. Okay, let's get some calls in. Let's see if we can get a couple calls in here before we have to take our next break. Let's go to Lori in Oklahoma. Lori, you're on. Welcome. Okay, Lori, I think you got to turn your radio down in the background. There you go.
It's down.
Hi, Lori. What's on your mind?
Hi. Well, I am beyond sick of the shampeachment. I heard that word today and loved it.
I like that too.
I am overwhelmed with the fact that Adam Schiff cannot be held accountable for the lies, and how come he can't be charged or sued or countersued for making up stuff for deception, and basically why we as a nation don't recognize this act of treason against our country and against our people.
Lori, I agree with you. I really believe that, like I said before, whether it meets the statutory technical requirements of treason, aiding and abetting an enemy, I believe that it's treasonous in its spirit, because I think he's trying to undermine the expressed will of the American people in a duly and lawfully held election in which the people spoke. And he's now saying, I know better than the people. And you're right. That's treasonous to our Constitution. It's treasonous to our way of life. And when he says, and therefore you can't trust the upcoming election, so what's he going to do? I mean, maybe Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler and Nancy Pelosi should form a Roman, the equivalent of a Roman triumvirate, and they will choose the next president for us, because after all, we can trust their judgment and their wisdom, right? And you're right. I wish somebody would explore suing them or taking some kind of action that makes them pay for what I consider to be constitutional malpractice. Let's go to Mickey in Texas. Mickey, you're on. Welcome. Or is it Mikey?
Hello?
Mikey, you're on.
It's Mikey. Yeah.
Thank you, Mikey.
Trust me, you're not the first one to make that mistake, and you're definitely okay. not going to be the last one. I find it some humorous. Okay. I just wanted to call about the impeachment trial with Shady Schiff and all that, and to point out that there's quite an ideological divide, but even that is kind of getting dwarfed by some of the outlandish things that are happening. I wanted to ask, what do you think we can do as Christians and just as citizens to do anything about this, to stop this kind of thing from happening again?
Yeah, well, Mikey, I can think of three things off the top of my head. One is, we got to punish these people at the polls. I mean, that's number one. We got to punish them at the polls. Look, politicians are creatures of, most of them, are creatures of power. And taking away their power is the ultimate punishment for them. So that's number one. I think number two, we need to explore the possibility of class action lawsuits against these people. And here again, whether that's ripe yet, I don't know. But to me, this undermining of the election process ought to have some kind of remedy. And politicians ought to be accountable when they do these things. I mean, they've said repeatedly, you can't trust the upcoming election. Well, why have one? Why have one? And so to me, you are really undermining the constitutional prerogative of the American people when you start making proclamations on the floor of the United States Senate as a public official, as an elected official who's supposed to represent us and the Constitution of the United States. And you start saying, we don't need an election because we can't trust that. Trust us. There's got to be some recourse. That's number two. And of course, number three, we got to keep praying for our country. Just got to keep praying for our country and getting active, getting involved, putting faith with works and works with faith, because the two go together. Back in a moment.
Sort of a young disciple asking his mentor how to get over the guilt that when he gets still, he falls asleep.
Nicole Johnson on Focus on the Family Minute.
And the mentor said so wisely, you need to adjust your picture of God. So if you picture God sitting by the fire of the universe, rocking in a chair, and you're the dog that's asleep at his feet, should you feel guilty as the dog falling asleep? Or should you just take that comfort to go, I'm here and we're together, and the world is a safe place in this moment and in this spot? And I think too many of us, Christian women in particular, our identities are wrapped up in what we do and how we perform, instead of whose we are and who we know and why our worth and value is secure.
More from Nicole at familyminute.org.
Hey, Target. You thought we were done?
Did you think we would give up?
Well, of course not. We still stand strong with our belief that men do not belong in the women's restrooms or changing areas. It's absurd. We should not have to walk in your restrooms with the fear of someone of the opposite sex walking in on us.
Together, we will stop this open door policy.
Help us by signing the pledge to boycott Target at afa.net.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
This is Dan Celia from Financial Issues.
You know, we look at the volatility in the markets right now, or the lack of anything in the markets, and this is a great time to take a pause, rethink all of our portfolio, look at our asset allocation model. Are we following the asset allocation model as it should be? Are we overweighted one place or another? You know, I've been an advocate for biblically responsible investing for many, many years. I've been an advocate for charitable gift annuity because I'm an advocate for permanent income. Call the AFA Foundation to start talking about it.
A knowledgeable AFA Foundation representative will gladly explain the nuances of charitable gift annuities and answer your questions. Find out about charitable gift annuities when you call 800-326-4543, extension 345. 800-326-4543, extension 345, or by visiting afafoundation.net.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Folks, I can't believe how quickly this program goes. I really can't. I thank you all for your calls. Keep calling, and I'm going to try to get as many as I can in. Look, this is Friday. I want to remind everybody, go to church on Sunday. Go to a church, go to your church and listen to a good word. For those of you here in the Virginia area, particularly in the Hampton Roads area, I will be at my church on Sunday at 11 a.m. preaching the word of God. I'm going to be talking about a higher level of grace because the Bible says he gives more grace to the humble. So we're going to be talking about more grace operating in our lives. We're there at 11 o'clock, 943 Canal Drive at 11 a.m. I would love to see you there. And if you come, listen, I said locally, even if you're in California, fly on over. I tell you what, you fly in from California, I'll take you out to dinner. Okay, that's the least I can do if you fly it all the way from California. Okay, folks, listen, two other quick things. I want to get it. I'm coming right back to your calls. The Super Bowl is coming up. This Sunday, right? And if you watch the Super Bowl, which I will not, I have not watched football since Colin Kaepernick began his slander against our country and Roger Goodell, with his inept, incompetent self, went along with it. And the NFL started giving money to a bunch of far leftists and all of this. I just had it. They've ruined it for me. Well, they're still on a quest to try to get as many people as they can to stop watching, because at the Super Bowl, they're going to have a drag queen commercial. Yeah, they're going to have two drag queens who apparently got known on RuPaul's drag queen show. And those two drag queens are going to be advertising Sabra Hummus, I think it's called. Yeah, folks. So if you watch the Super Bowl, guess what? The NFL is going to make sure the kids get a chance to see some drag queens. I mean, folks, this stuff has got to stop. I mean, it's just got to stop. You know, I'm convinced of this. I think the vast majority of the American people could really care less what people want to do with their private lives and live and let live, and don't want to hurt anybody, don't want to harass anybody, don't want to discriminate against anybody. I want people to just be able to live their lives. But I think most people are tired of this stuff being shoved in our faces and in the faces of our children. I think most people just had it with that. And that's not hatred. It's just, look, you know, leave me alone. Stop shoving this perversion in my face and then acting like there's something wrong with me when I say it's perversion and it's wrong and it's immoral and it's disgusting and it's degenerate and I don't want my children exposed to it. Oh, you're a bigot. You're a hater. You're a bad person. Fire him from his job. Destroy his business. I mean, we've had it with that, folks. We just had it with that. And the NFL, instead of backing off from that, knowing it's controversial, they want to just shove it in your face too. Well, good way to get more people watching the NFL. I won't be one of them. Okay, the number is 888-589-8840. Let's go right back to the lines. Doc, welcome. Doc in Florida, hey. You're on.
Hey, I tell you what, man, I'm new to your show, and I'm learning that you are the voice of the verifiable truth. I am loving it, and I'm telling my friends about it here in Florida.
Thank you, Doc.
I just want to let you know, I am Trump's number one African-American fan.
Yes, I've heard about you. I mean, in fact, you called earlier, and we didn't get much of a chance to talk, so I'm glad you called a little earlier this time. You called it some days ago, but I'm glad we were able to get you on earlier this time. Great.
Well, the thing I love that I'm actually winning black Democrats over to Trump by walking them past their emotional ways, but by showing them the verifiable truth. For instance, I say, you know what's kind of crazy, man? A few years ago, over 85% of black professional men, we had Donald Trump ties. Why do we have his ties if he's a racist? And then I show them, like, I say, you know how crazy Chicago is, how buck wild it is. Do you know that Democrats have ran a place like Camden, New Jersey, to make Chicago look like Bel Air? Every place that Democrats, I show them, and then they say, well, the economy was coming back because of Obama. Oh. And then I show them where Obama himself told that black man, Eric Cottenham, how those jobs are gone and they're never coming back.
Yep.
And what he's going to do, wave some kind of new wand. I say the new wand was trading Obama in for Trump. And it's amazing because the things when I show them and what really blows their mind when I say, do you know when Hillary said she wanted to bring people to bring them to heel? I said, do you know where that term came from? It's an old slavery term when the slave runs away from the plantation and they catch him, they cut his Achilles tendon. So he can't run no more. That's called bringing the heel. Why would she use all these slavery terms and y'all clapping for her? And when I show them things like that, you know, wow. I don't beat them down.
Right.
But I show them, and then I show them, like, you know, what Democrats do, what Democrats want. And your show is the verifiable truth. And I'm telling people to check this guy out because I'm just finding out about it here in Florida. So I'm telling people to check it out because I love what you're doing. You are a blessing. Thank you so much for everything.
Thank you,
you're doing.
Thank you, man. Listen, I all I can say is amen, amen, and amen. And I remember Hillary Clinton talking about she carries around hot sauce. I mean, that really racist pandering. And Joe Biden, they're gonna put y'all back in chains. So not only the stupid reference that Republicans want to put people back into slavery, but trying to use some sort of what he considers to be black intonation to say it. They're gonna put y'all back in chains. And remember Hillary Clinton with this, I don't feel no ways tied. Oh, my goodness. It's just this stuff. Remember, I shared a while ago. I think I've still got this. I don't have time to look it up now. Remember, I shared a while ago a poll that showed a study that showed leftists talk down to black people and condescend to them. And they're always pointing the finger of racism at everybody. They are the biggest racists on the planet. You know why? Because they really believe that black folks are their property and that they have a right to direct your thinking. And if you dare contradict their thinking, you are an ungrateful persona non grata. You are the scum of the earth. How dare you? You know what it reminds me of, folks? It really does. It really does. It reminds me of during in the antebellum South, before the Civil War, when black people would escape to the North, one of the responses of many slave masters was, why are they escaping? I mean, they had it so good here. They were treated so well. I'm serious, folks. They didn't understand that these slaves, while they had limited experience, were thinking for themselves, wanted to be free, and no matter how well the slave master might have thought they were being treated, they knew they weren't free. And you know, liberals, I think about black folks that way today. Why are they rejecting our liberal ideas? We've done so much for them. We've treated them so well. Why are they trying to escape our plantation? I just don't understand it. It is so ungrateful. That's the way they think. And they hate you for it, and they want to destroy you for it. So, Doc, God bless you, man, for telling the truth. And I think as Americans of African descent wake up, boy, the Democrat Party is in big trouble. Okay. All right, folks, we got a limited amount of time, but I wanted to get that in. Let's go to James. James, you've been waiting a while. Thank you for your patience. Oh, Jamie. Sorry, Jamie.
Well, thank you very much, Bishop, for taking my call. I just wanted to personally, on the air, thank you for being such a wonderful, wonderful man of God. And I wanted to ask you, have you ever met Dr. Tony Evans in real life? He's also one of my all-time favorites. I love
yes.
him.
And I don't know him well, but yes, he and I have met on several occasions. Yeah, he's a great man. Mm-hmm. Great man of God, great preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And I just wanted to really thank you from my heart and to say, keep pastoring on for us until the Lord comes back to us and to bring us home. And if you would, I don't know if you'll do this, but the what they call the whistleblower, I'll call the referee. You know this dude,
right?
Would you say his name maybe five times to mock them mercilessly? They don't want his name to be trumpeted. Just and say it proud. Oh, I hate the Democrats. I hate them with a passion.
All right. Well, listen, thank you for the call, Jamie. I appreciate it. Let me see if I can do that. But I've got people waiting on the line. So let me try to get in another call. Nelson from Texas. Nelson, welcome. Nelson, are you there? Nelson, you got to turn your radio down. I hear it in the background.
Yes. Hello.
Yes, Nelson, you're on. You've only got about 30 seconds, Nelson. Make the most of it.
Yes, even after the call, can I still speak with you after the show's over? I'll hold as much as I can.
Nelson, that's not going to be possible. I've got a flight to take shortly after the program is over. I'll be rushing. What you can do is you can email me at ewj@standamerica.us, and my staff will try to set something up. Yeah, tell them what you need and all of that, okay? And we'll go from there.
All right.
All right. Thanks,
all
Nelson.
Right. Keep preaching the word. Stay strong
Thank
in
you.
The Lord.
Thank you. Thank you, Nelson. D in Florida. D, Nelson opened up a door for you. You can close us out.
Who?
Yeah. Is it D? Is this D?
Me? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. I just wanted to let you know, you were talking about the Super Bowl commercial. I believe it was on Brian Fisher's program. Had a lady on there who's been trying since August to get a commercial on the Super Bowl, and they refused to answer her.
It's for pro-life.
People
pro-life,
have survived.
Right? A pro-life abortion. Commercial, right?
Yes, sir, I believe so.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. See? CD, I mean, that. So we can put a transvestite drag queen commercial on, but let's not put anything on there about trying to save the lives of unborn children. That's too controversial. I mean, folks, this is Isaiah 5, 22 and 23 territory we're in. Well, look, I've got to go. You all enjoy your weekend. If you're in the local area, stop by my church. I'd love to see you. In the meantime, remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.